When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Speaking Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Flemington Car and Truck Country. Best car buying experience ever online at Flemington.com. Award-winning House of Cupcakes, HouseofCupcakes.com, and Casa Gennaro's. Reservations, call 609-683-1212.
Hey, everybody. This is Jay Black, and welcome to Movie and a Dinner. Now, normally it should be called Dinner and a Movie, but Bill Spadia has declared Movie and a Dinner.
I think it works.
It does, but it's hard to say every time. It does not come tripping off the lips.
But it makes people pause because something sounds.
Exactly. We are here in, not only are we here at our favorite restaurant in the world, Casa Gennaro's, we are in Casa Gennaro's with more light than we were used to last time. They've built, three windows, three extra windows.
Oh, it's beautiful.
In here, and the light is streaming in. It's a beautiful May day. This will be released on Wednesday, so hopefully the weather has not turned yet. We are still in the beauty of this current May day. In the future, I hope in the future it's not raining or global warming has completely destroyed the coast.
Not within a week.
You never know.
I feel a little awkward eating, like guilty, because I know that people can see me eating all this good food.
Well, why do you feel guilty? Like, they could come in. They're not. They're not forced to stay out there.
But I just saw some guy working out, and I know I'm about to stuff my face. That makes me feel.
He's working out?
He had like a headphones and a sweatband, and he was walking real fast.
Oh, well, maybe he was running away. Maybe he just stole that sweatband and headphones, and he was just running away. You never know. So we are here. We're waiting on the appetizers, and let's describe what this is. This is dinner and a movie. Excuse me. Movie and a dinner. What we do is...
The
appetizers are coming now. All right.
That's fantastic. Nice.
All right. Well, let's do the intro, honey, and then we can eat the appetizers. We did two movies this week. We did About Time, starring, I guess, the America's and England's favorite redhead, Donnell Gleeson. Mm-hmm. And we did the 1942 classic Casablanca.
Casablanca.
Starring the hound dog faced Humphrey Bogart.
Oh.
So we will talk about both of those. As always, we'll do your movie first, About Time. Your choice for me.
That was my choice. And you know what? I'm a little nervous this week because the other two movies, while I liked them, I wasn't like overwhelmed with gratitude they existed. Mm-hmm. But I love this movie, so if you don't like it...
We might have to divorce?
Right, yeah, we might have to go our separate ways, because I don't know if I can be with the person that...
Well, honey, I'd like to introduce to you our first special guest, a divorce lawyer. This is, who's the guy that... Matt Rooney. He's a divorce lawyer, friend of the show, Matt Rooney.
Huh?
He's here to finally separate us. No, I haven't said if I liked it or not. We're going to eat our appetizers, come back, we'll talk about About Time, then we'll eat our main course, we'll come back, we'll talk about my great movie, Casablanca.
So what if I didn't like Casablanca?
It's impossible. And then we are going to have dessert, and then we'll come back and talk about final ideas and thoughts that we have about the show. So let's go eat, and then we'll pop right back.
Reading the La Familia.
The La Familia. This is the big plate of everything. I mean, there's like literally everything here. I mean, there's marinara sauce. That's the eggplant rotolini, right, that you like?
Rollatini.
Mm-hmm. Rollatini sounds like a move that they would do in the days of vaudeville where they would have a fat guy, like, do a front flip, and they would call him Teeny because he's fat, so it's ironic. So they'd go, hey, we're going to have to pull the Rollatini. And then a big fat guy trips and rolls over.
Oh,
and
so I see it being more like a pick-up move that Italian guys do. Hey, try the Rollatini?
No, you don't want to say teeny when you're trying to pick somebody up.
Oh, that's true.
You say roll a fat one.
Fat one.
Roll a big one.
Roll a big one.
All right. So let's go eat our appetizers, then we'll be back. And we are back at Casa Gennaro, which, by the way, if you haven't come here, it's only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I think that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, if this was open 7 days a week, the people of this town would be 975
pounds. I was going to say, you can tell the food's fresher. You can tell everyone's happy to be here.
And you don't have that thing, like, when you read, like, Anthony Bourdain, where they're like, never eat fish on, like, Monday.
Yes.
Because they buy it on Friday, and that's all the fish they're trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is just, like you said, it's real. It's here. It's great. You got to come out and try. We just had the appetizers, and while our stomachs are dealing with, you know, actual good food, this is the first meal I have had in a week that was not a power bowl or some sort of Chinese takeout.
So, True.
Or a Costco chicken. So okay. It's good Costco to chicken. Be with, like, this kind of food. It's delicious. But let's talk about Time.
Yes. I can't hold it in anymore. It's essential for me.
So About Time stars basically a killer lineup of hot chicks. We have Rachel McAdams, one of the plastics from Mean Girls.
Yep.
We have Vanessa Kirby, who's the hot girl from the latest Mission Impossible, also going to be in Hobbs and Shaw. She's the sister, right? And we're just going up the scale of hotness. You know it's an amazing movie when the least hot of the three hot girls is Rachel McAdams.
Like that, Margot Robbie's in it.
Margot Robbie, who I'm not convinced is human, right? She is from another planet.
I'm with you.
She's like, wouldn't it be funny if she's like, oh, I'm the least attractive person from my planet? She's like the Marilyn of their planet that'd be sent down. That's a Munsters reference for those of you paying attention to know.
Get it. I'm gonna let it go.
Anyhow, this guy, Donnell Gleason, the luckiest redhead in all of Hollywood. Is there any other redheads working as much as he is? I mean, he's in Star Wars. He's in this. He's a Harry Potter guy, right? He's one of the...
Is he one of the Weasley twins?
One of the Weasley twins.
I didn't realize that. Or
maybe both the Weasley twins.
He probably was both, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to, like, give power to two redheads.
Right. If you give power to two, then it's like two redheads dominating Hollywood.
I think it goes Donnell Gleason, number one redhead. And then number two, I'm talking male redheads. I'm not talking like Bryce Dallas Howard. Number one, Donnell Gleason. Number two, that Rupert guy who played the other Weasley, like Ron Weasley. And then literally no one. This guy, Ron Weasley, no one.
They even make a ginger joke in it.
Yeah. He called him the first openly ginger Olympian. So he is finds out on his 21st birthday he can travel back in time. And it's basically a light, airy comedy with the only thing being in the romance of this guy's life, he can go back in time and fix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Oh.
I cried like a weepy baby at the end. Now, just to be known, my brother was an alcoholic who died. My dad was a smokeaholic who died of lung-related issues. The sister in this, alcoholic, the dad dies of lung cancer. So it was like, you know, a harpoon directly into the beating part of my chest. But that said, it was very effective. It was beautiful. And, you know, the dad's trick to enjoying life was something like the whole movie. And by the way, spoilers, assholes, you get mad at me for spoiling. If you're listening to Dinner and Movie and Dinner, whatever we call this podcast, then you're mad at spoilers.
You should still say it.
The idea that the secret to him enjoying life is to do a day and then to do it over again. And I've seen a lot of versions of the Our Town sentiment of the little moments are the one that matters. The people in your life that are there day to day are the ones that mean the most to you. But the idea of going through once and being exhausted and run down and pissed off about everything that happens, but then going back in time and doing it again. Which, by the way, did I make it clear he could time travel and they never explain it?
They said every man in my family.
Right, but that's...
Don't start poking holes in this. Just keep going.
I'm not poking holes into it. It's just that that's...
Oh, do they always explain every time travel movie?
No, I'm trying to make sure the people at home know that I'm talking about a time travel movie.
Oh, I thought you were being facetious because you did say that was the first thing you said.
Yeah, no, I forgot to say he can go back in time.
No, you said it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I've been hit in the head with a brick right before I came in. he goes back in time immediately and relives the day. That's the best version I've seen, and I'm including our town, in the idea of, like, we get lost in the day-to-day of it, mm-hmm. and that if you really could, like, all the stuff that happens over the course of a day that pisses you off, by the time you get to bed, you just have the accumulated cruft of sadness and stress and anger. But if you could go back, there are moments that you miss all along.
That was actually one of my favorite scenes, and I remember when I saw it, I wanted to show it to you, but...
I was in no place mentally to hear you, honey.
Mentally. As my brother said,
yeah.
Do not. This movie's beautiful. Watch it. Do not show it to Jay. That was actually one of my favorite scenes, when he does the day...
Twice.
In court.
Right.
And then he's mad at everything, and he's and nothing goes his way, and then he just spends the day making people laugh, and...
Right. Well, he... He shows up at a takeaway. They say takeaway, not takeout. One of those little weird English versions of things. It makes sense. It does, but like England really does feel like the parallel universe version of us, mm-hmm. where they like takeout and takeaway both make sense. Like,
sure.
He goes to a takeaway place to get like a sandwich and a drink, and the woman's very kind to him, very sweet, but he doesn't recognize it. He's there with his friend, and they have this big victory, but because he's late. He doesn't like stop to like go, oh my God, I'm in this courtroom and this is fantastic. And, you know, he's on the way home. And the thing that I think like really hammered it home for me, there's a guy listening to music really loud on his iPod. And it's an old movie, so iPods still existed. So they're, he's annoyed because he has to sit next to this guy and the music's loud. And the second time through, he just plays air guitar along with the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sentiment. Couple of things.
Okay.
That I would want to talk about. First, abortion. I think that this movie is very pro-abortion. And I'll tell you why.
You're going to have to.
So, what he finds out is that once a kid's born, he can't go back in time. Because if he messes anything up...
He won't have the same children.
He won't have the same children because the sperm will be different.
Well, just everything will be different.
Right.
The time you have sex, everything.
So it's a different baby.
Yeah.
So he goes back to try to fix his sister's life,
mm-hmm.
and he comes home and his kid's no longer the girl. It's like this dark-haired boy. And by the way, he was so dark-haired. I was like, in this version, did she cheat on him with a dark
That's
dude?
You don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that would be a major plot point. You know, I'd be like, why is this kid's hair so dark? You know. That said, what happened to that baby?
Oh my gosh, you have to go there.
That's the only thing I thought about for the second half of the movie. So he goes back in time, and he changes things. And he realizes he can't change everything for his sister. He has to, like, help his sister through because his daughter was born. And if he goes beyond the time his daughter was born, now he has a son, and the daughter doesn't exist.
That's not pro.
So what it's saying is every time he changes something, that baby, does it have a soul? Did the boy... In that version, when he went back in time, the boy version of his daughter that he had to erase from time, he murdered that baby. If we believe that there is a number of souls that get sucked down into you, that's a murder.
Well, maybe he went into the third baby.
Maybe, but they never said it. They should have said, oh, look, that's the baby. Remember that baby? I didn't murder him. That's my third baby.
I had some, like, not angry, but, like, crazy hysterical tears when he did his last walk with his father.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
I was ugly crying.
Well, because what he does is his dad dies, but since his dad's a time traveler, he goes back in time to visit his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, here's the thing. We had two babies.
Right.
Okay? And if you came to me and said, let's have a third, I think that's when I say to you...
Yes! Rocky has the same complaint.
I go like, okay, listen... Rachel McAdams with bangs.
Right. That's brown hair.
Brown hair, Rachel McAdams. I had a chance at Margot Robbie. I didn't take it. Which I think you get a note from Margot Robbie saying, I was going to bang him, but I didn't. And I take it home. And every time Rachel McAdams gets mad at me, I go, oh, I didn't clean out the dishwasher. I almost could have banged Margot Robbie. I didn't. And I even then, I think she would have been like, well, can you bring her home for both of us?
Just for me.
She's...
Okay, anyhow, you want to keep talking about how gorgeous
she is? I kind of do. I kind of just want to...
Would you like to hear my thoughts?
No. Well, I will say, though, just on a side note, the bad boyfriend for the sister, like the bad boy that they have to talk her out of going to go with the weird looking redhead, which is kind of weirdly incestuous because he looks like the brother.
Solid.
But they talk this sister out of being with the bad boy. Good looking guy. He's a dark haired guy with bright blue eyes. I was like, that guy's good looking. I could see staying with him past some of the issues that they've had.
See, I find the redhead definitely the most attractive.
The redhead that the sister goes with? The weird looking?
No, the main protagonist.
He's kind of, you find him attractive?
Very.
Just because he's a nice guy in the movie?
I don't know. Accents go a long way. I've said this before on other podcasts.
But yeah, but the super good looking dude with the high cheekbones who was mean to the sister, the bad boy of the movie. He had the accent too. I'm just saying.
You're right. You're right. I guess I look inside a person.
You shouldn't. It's all gross and gooey in there. You know, honey, it's what I teach our children. Only judge books by their covers.
Okay.
Because if God wants you to know that there's something beautiful inside, he makes the outside pleasant. Which is
why you've been telling the children?
Why ugly people are evil. That's what I've said many times. Honey, that's what you think it says in Latin on my family crest. It says, ugly people are evil. It's it's the black family crest. It goes back to our times as the lords of Lannisport.
Can we get that divorce lawyer back?
Oh, yeah. No, he's waiting. I don't know if you know this. I have one standing by at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of this. There's always one ready to go because I always feel like you're just on the verge of kicking me to the curb. Always. Just
so why make it so accessible?
What's that?
Why make it so accessible?
I just wanted to, because I love you. So here's the thing. He can't have he can't go back in time after he has that third baby.
After his son.
Right. So Rachel McAdams comes and says, like, hey, I want to have a third baby. And he goes, I'll think about it. And he goes back in time and his dad's like, oh, yeah, no, I totally get it. You can't visit me anymore. I think two kids is plenty.
Yeah.
I think I say to Rachel McAdams at that point, like, hey, I didn't bring this up before because I thought it would weird you out. But I'm a time traveler and I've been going back in time to visit my dad. And the only way I can keep doing that is if we don't have a third baby. We already have two. I think we're good.
But then the time traveling gene would die.
Who cares? He didn't use it for anything. He couldn't go back and kill Hitler. Now, here's another part of it, too. I love this movie, by the way. I'm just asking questions.
The father did bring that up. I can't go back past my lifetime.
Yes. He goes... He uses his time travel. First off, he meets Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad's good friend's play gets messed up. So he travels back in time to fix the play. But he realizes, oh, no, I didn't meet Rachel McAdams. So then he meets her, and she's got a boyfriend that she got in the time in between when he was supposed to meet her and didn't. So he goes back in time and breaks them up, like by showing up at the party before they do. Okay, fine. They go out, they connect, and he uses his love, like he uses knowledge of the future to woo her in the past. Then they go and they have sex, and the first time is not so good. So he goes back and does it again, much better. Then he goes back and does it a third time, and now that he knows all the different parts, he blows her mind and she falls in love with him. What's the difference between this and what Bill Murray was doing to Andy McDowell in Groundhog Day that we were supposed to believe is a bad thing, which is he's not connecting with her for real. He's just using the knowledge of what she does to manipulate her.
I think they get around that because they obviously make a great connection first.
But if you found that out, if I said to you, oh, honey, by the way, I haven't told you this. I manipulated you back in time when we first met. Remember when we first met? I had a unibrow and I was wearing boots with khakis that were too short. You remember that?
I would be flattered.
You would be flattered.
I would be flattered that you spent that much time on it.
You would not feel manipulated in any way.
No.
And all the times that I've given you mind-blowing orgasms, the kind that you think about for months afterwards and your whole body shakes, like every molecule of your body feels like it's vibrating. But if I told you, like, oh, no, that was the fifth one we did that day, I just went back in time, you wouldn't feel like, oh, I guess my husband isn't the greatest lover in the entire world.
I would, yes, honey, you are the greatest lover.
Yeah, I mean, I know you feel that way, but what if you found out?
I would be flattered that you, because you obviously got off. I'd be flattered that you were coming back and back to make sure it was good for me.
I feel like you are very old-fashioned. I feel like these are things that people in the 40s would say. Like, oh, yeah, no, I know he loves me. He manipulated me into being together with him. Well, I'm for it. It just feels like those are scenes that, like, they, it was such a light and airy and beautiful movie, and their relationship was so solid. And I loved that they didn't give them any, like, road bumps.
Yes.
Like there was a, there was another version of this movie where the time travel messed things up, and he, like, you know, it, I kept waiting for the moment where, like, he goes back and Rachel McAdams isn't there, and he realizes, oh no, I've screwed up, and he's got to. They didn't do any of that. They just had this beautiful relationship, and you could tell that they were supposed to be together.
And the beautiful relationship between their father and the son.
Right. And you sort of get the idea of, like, yeah, if you could relive everything, mm-hmm. and you kind of know that, like, you get where you need to go no matter what, mm-hmm. you stop worrying about it. Yeah. I mean, it's every book on some level, every movie on some level is trying to impart this wisdom. But I think this one did a very good job of it. Especially,
do you recommend this?
100%. Yay. I think you should see it. Bring tissues. And I will say that the, you know, when he's talking to his son for the first time and sort of imparting to him, mm-hmm. very matter-of-factly, mm-hmm. I like how they just...
I love the father.
Right. And he goes, well, how about... the son says, I'll just make a lot of money. And he goes, nah, don't do that. And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I'll tell you, all of your relatives, like some of your relatives have tried that. None of them wound up happy. You know, just they get around, like, hey.
Oh, you're right. All of those things that you would imagine somebody would do.
Would do.
That's yeah. smart writing.
Absolutely. And I thought they did a great job of showing Kit Kat, the sister, mm-hmm. You know, as the father of two daughters that are the lights of my life. When you see her at the beginning of the mm-hmm. movie as just this sort of, like,
free spirit, bubbly.
And by the time she shows up, and it all sort of happens in the background. And this is sort of what I love about the movie, is in the background you see this relationship happen between this really good-looking guy. And by the way, not gay, but man, that guy was a good-looking guy. Let's look at a picture.
I can say Margot Robbie's gorgeous.
I know, because that's hot. Like, when two girls do it, it's hot.
Oh.
But when a guy does it, you know, listen... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just feel like the people at home would be like, oh, that's a little gross. Like, when Jay talks about it, gross. Mm-hmm. But if Chris could go back to describing what she would do with Margot Robbie, like right now, like just freestyling.
Go back to the movie.
Okay. So, you know, you see this sort of like free spirit start to die, mm-hmm. and they don't really make it like a plot point where they hit it with music or anything else. When she shows up at the birthday party drunk, well, she doesn't show up drunk, she gets into an accident on her way there. That's when you sort of realize the same time they do, mm-hmm. like, no, things are bad. Thanks for getting our forks. So we got to wrap up this section because our main meal's coming.
You love to talk.
Am I talking too much? Is that... I know Rocky's big thing. Your brother Rocky said I talk too much. So do you want to say something about
it? No. I was honestly just ribbing you. I loved a lot of the lines in it. I loved the father's personality saying...
Wait, you spilled something right there.
We?
What?
We spilled?
The oil spilled onto the thing here.
How the father said,
thank you.
I'm fairly fond of you. Or how do you like her? Oh, I like her better than you already.
Right.
I actually saw a lot of, like, your dad. In the dad with some of the comments.
Yeah. My dad was a time traveler, but he only went back in time to watch Flyers games.
I was just thinking, what if you had to, like, give Keen this wisdom, our son Keen? What do you think that person he would do is?
I think he would destroy the universe. I think he would go back in time and say, like, well, what would happen if I pushed myself down a flight of stairs? The universe would implode on itself. If I had this kind of power, I would not tell our son
really?
That we had it. I would just say, you know what? Time travel can't happen. See you later. He's a wonderful boy.
He's a wonderful boy.
But would you trust him with the keys to cosmic power?
I don't trust him with the keys
yeah.
to anything.
Exactly.
No, so that's what I was thinking. I was laughing about that.
Yeah, it's... but no, I recommend it highly, and I'll let you talk. Say whatever pops into your head.
I was just...
Anything at all.
Margaret.
Right, I just want to hear what you have to say. I'm tired. People don't want to hear me talk. I talk too much as it is. Please, Christina.
No.
Your turn to talk.
Not enough. Casablanca.
So, what I would say about Casablanca... we'll get to Casablanca after this, but this is the first movie that you've recommended that I can say was not a horror show that made me sad to be a human being.
That's a plus.
Yeah, no, it's good. This is a good movie. Check it out.
Yeah, I think I was definitely nervous because the other ones, I can see how you wouldn't like them. But well, like I said, this one would be like, oh, that one hurt.
Yeah, the other movies were like being constipated.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing, nothing coming out.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of, like, I drank 3 cups of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all came out. And speaking of coming out, here's our food. We'll be back to talk about Casablanca right after this. And we're back from dinner. I think we should probably not do my movies after the dinner because I feel like so out of it right now. I just ate, I'm pretty sure, 3/4 of a whole pig.
I can't believe you finished all that meat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm used to having a lot of meat in my mouth, baby. you know
who's?
The boyfriend from About Time. That guy's so good looking.
Oh, no. You got him. What was he like?
He was bad.
No.
But I feel like I could change him.
No, I mean, oh, I was with the redhead.
No, the bad boy.
Oh, but if you were able to travel time, you could probably.
I could change him. Give me enough time, and I could turn him from a bad boy into husband material.
All you just said is what you never want to hear a girl say.
No, it's the only thing. I'll take anything from my daughter, except, you know, I think I can change him. She's like, no.
Oh no, you can't accept. Oh my God, Dad, he's so funny.
Well, I'll take. He's so funny. I won't take funnier than you, because that would be impossible.
Out of this world crazy. So, Casablanca. I can't believe, and people at work were also like, I can't believe you never saw this movie.
Yes.
I don't know how it escaped, but I love the ability to understand where all those phrases came from.
It's one of those things where it's like a touchstone for so many people.
Yes.
From Peter Lorre's
voice. Which you described in Dark City, but yeah. I didn't, is how we figured out I'd never seen Casablanca.
Right.
Here's looking at you, kid.
We'll always have Paris. The problems of two people don't amount to a hill of beans.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I'm shocked to discover that there's gambling in this establishment.
Here's your money, sir.
Yeah, great.
And then you explain to me that they never actually say, "Play Again, Sam."
Right.
But yeah. You can see how that was kind of changed over time.
It's like, beam me up, Scotty.
They never say that, right?
In any of the Star Trek show or movies, they never say, beam me up, Scotty. They'll say, Scotty, beam me up, or beam me up, and then Scotty later on. But they've never said the phrase, beam me up, Scotty. There are misremembered phrases that just happen in movies. I don't know why, but it just happens.
So, I did love it.
Wasn't it great?
Even though it was in black and white.
Don't say even though it was in black and white.
I get thrown sometimes. You know what did throw me? What was the car scenes when they're supposed to be driving?
Oh, yeah, where it's just like him. I don't know why in the 1940s people thought, like, when you did fake driving, you should take the wheel and just drive like a little
crazy,
kid.
Crazy, yeah, back and forth, right.
You could just put your hand on the wheel.
You would have been in a car accident.
Yeah.
And they drive crazy, and then they try to make the background look like it's moving.
Right.
But that kind of brings you out of it. It's
right.
Comical.
The rear projection. You got to treat these movies like a play almost. You know, it's not like a camera that's like revealing a real thing that happened. Everything's sort of stagey.
I would love to be lighted in my everyday life in the way Ingrid Bergman,
yeah.
Was lighted.
Yeah, she was
every single time she looked at the camera, it was like this, just. I don't know, like she's an angel.
I think that, like, if you're a Hollywood star, it would just be nice to have that to show your children.
Yeah.
Oh, this is exactly how I looked every day.
Every day.
I never not looked like this. Take a look at a picture of mommy every day. It's like the old Hollywood equivalent of getting nude pictures taken in your 20s. Like, just have a record of this.
Just to show your kids.
Well, not to show
your
kids.
Do you want your kids to see a nude?
No, this is for your husband to remind them, like, this is what I looked like before you decimated me with children.
You ruined me.
You exploded me with your demon seed.
I'm glad that's how you see me.
Oh, well, you know, I think we both know that that's a joke.
You think my body's exploded?
No. I feel like the insides have got to be moved around, though.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Came to a lot of kicking.
Yeah, there's like kidneys that are probably up here, the lungs and stuff.
So, Casablanca. I was happy that you were there in the beginning to explain it to me.
Right. The letters of transit MacGuffin is tough.
Yes. So, I think that I would have not enjoyed it as much if you didn't give me that little, like, when you paused it and knew what I was going to be confused about and then explained it.
Right. it is difficult to watch now in a world with like verifiable stuff where like everybody has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. The idea that there's like two sheets of papers with a stamp on it,
right,
that are the most valuable pieces of paper in the world because Charles de Gaulle signed it and it means you can go anywhere.
Right, and I still didn't understand, like, from my, and I love how you explained to me that the United States wasn't into World War II at this time, so right, there was a lot of parallelism between what Humphrey Bogart said,
right,
and what they were trying to say to the United States about getting involved.
It's basically a pro-war movie, yes, from beginning to end.
Yes. So was Hollywood pro-war at that time?
I think the makers of this movie were, okay, at the very least. I mean, I think it's sort of like everybody could see the Hitler writing on the wall, mm-hmm, and it was only isolationists that wanted to keep us out. So, like, Rick was the sleeping giant that was like, oh, now that Rick's in it, we're going to win this war. I mean, he's a stand-in for all of America. And since every American man wants to be Rick, and I still believe to this day...
You want to be Rick?
100%.
Really?
I mean...
Wait, Don Draper or Rick?
They're the same character.
No, but which one would you pick to be?
Oh, Don Draper.
Okay, why?
But... because he looks like John Hamm and not a hound dog.
Oh, he's very handsome.
He's distinctive looking, but I think if he walked in here right now, it's the idea of him being on the big screen and having quippy things to say every time someone spoke.
I'll give that to you, but I think when he spoke, if right, he walked in right now and started speaking,
right,
and was wearing that suit, I would be.
But I think Don Draper is like, oh, if he came in wearing a white tuxedo, I think we'd both have to say, like, what's going on, pal? Like, how's your life?
Imagine walking in, like, in black and white.
Yeah. The only person in this entire place I could see wearing a white tuxedo and pulling it off, Gennaro.
Gennaro.
Yeah, if he walked in and was like, oh, by the way, I'm going to Monte Carlo, uh-huh, now, he'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, you got it.
But, yeah, so I think Don Draper is very much in the mold of Humphrey Bogart. Mm-hmm. And I do think that every man who watches this, for whatever reason, because, like, he doesn't win. Victor Laszlo should be the guy you're rooting for in this thing. He's a hero, but you don't. You're like, oh,
see, I didn't root against him.
But you rooted for Humphrey.
I don't know. I really didn't. I felt like they did such a good job of kind of making you unsure as to who the better fit would be. Because right, Victor Laszlo was such a stand-up guy. He was making a difference in the world. Rick wasn't.
Right.
And then you never really understood why, what their relationship was. Why Rick?
Right.
And what's her name?
Ilsa.
Ilsa loved each other.
Right.
They did such, I mean, every other movie was such a good excuse to get them for him to leave him.
Right.
So you understand that she was like loyal to her husband and loyal to this cause. And then she broke Rick's heart. Rick becomes, you know,
right,
hard. But I think I wasn't necessarily rooting for them.
Rick and Ilsa.
Yes. Because...
Wow. I think you're odd. I think most people do root for Rick and Ilsa.
Because Victor Laszlo, and he was spent a year in a concentration camp. You cannot go against the guy who spent a year in a concentration camp.
I'm not saying, like, it wouldn't be thorny, you know.
So here's the big question.
Yeah.
That night, what do you think happened? The night that Ilsa came and was like, no, I don't want to leave you again. Tell me what to do. You know, I can't be without you, and they fade. You think stuff happens?
I think they bang, yes. I think they have their goodbye bang, and I think it's so good. Mm-hmm. Ilsa, at the end, is like, I can't think anymore. You got to think for both of us.
Oh, you think it happened before that?
I think it happened right before that. I think she is banged into stupefaction. And then she's like, hey, concentration camp, schmumfication camp. I'm going with Rick.
I feel like a movie wouldn't say that.
I mean, that was probably first draft. She's like, oh, I'm not giving this up. Laszlo can dig his way out of a concentration camp. Rick can dig his way out of me.
Wow.
Oh, go on. Sorry.
Wow. So I really wasn't, I wasn't rooting for any, I was actually rooting for Rick in the way of Rick finding who he was as a person again.
Right. I think that's what the movie wants,
yes,
you to do.
Yeah. So I think I was more like wanting Rick to, yeah, like join, go back to who he was. He was fighting for the underdog. He stopped. And yes, I did not know about the ending, about that cop.
Renault.
I didn't.
French for Fox, by the way.
Ooh. I don't see that. But I did not know that part of it.
Where he came over to the cause, decided to join Rick.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. He's in love with Rick, right?
No, he was using those other women.
I think he was. But I feel like he's in love with Rick. If you go back and watch that with, like, gay undertones,
okay.
He even says, they say, well, let me tell you, who is this Rick? And he goes, let me tell you, if I were a woman,
yes,
and I wasn't around, I should think I was in love with Rick. I've never said that about any person, honey.
But if you were in that movie, transported in real life, would you say that about Rick?
No, because there can't be two alpha dogs, baby.
Oh, my gosh. No, come on. That's what I mean.
I'd own the blue parrot. I'd be the fat guy with the fez.
Okay. If you're in a movie with Don Draper, or a real life situation with Don Draper, and I say, hey, what's this Don Draper guy all about?
I'd be like, I don't know. I never think about him at all.
That was a callback to one of your favorite lines.
From Don Draper.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a Don Draper type, honey.
You identify.
Yeah. I'm sort of, because people at home don't really know what it's like. I would say the brooding mystery of Don Draper mixed with the quippiest sides of Humphrey Bogart, and the along with the stoicism. And I'd say the sandy good looks of a young Brad Pitt is what I would say. Like, that's the combo.
That is dead on, baby.
Right? Would you dead on. Say so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love how you began talking about the three hottest women in a movie,
right?
And ended with talking about how you are the hottest man.
Yes, uh-huh. Exactly.
Right.
I think the.
See what I'm dealing with here.
I think the people at home can really chart where this relationship is at. If you're playing the movie and a dinner home game, please put Jay in the guest room because he is not sleeping in the regular bed tonight.
No, well, you wanted to get that doghouse, crazy.
Yeah. Well,
can we get one? So then I'm mad at you. I can tell you to go sleep there.
I don't think
it'd be like an old married couple that says that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody. You think in the 50s people actually did that?
Yes.
No.
Well, where were the? Where were
you
the?
Could backhand women in the 50s. You have to say. Nowadays it's all complicated. What with the hashtag #MeToo's and stuff.
I know. They would all be on my side.
That's right. So you loved it.
Oh, I loved it. So should we go on to the last? Should we go on to the last section? What I learned about you and what you learned about me.
I'll go first because I don't know if I learned anything about you.
Say what?
What I mean is, like, this is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I learned. You love normal stuff. You just want to live that life. A life where you're just happy to be with your kids and your husband. Like, you don't need to go to, you know, Bali, which was a line in the movie where she's like, no, you got to take me to Bali for my honeymoon.
Yeah.
You're already there. You've already gotten to the point where your every day is, I think, more joyous than most because I think you've figured out how to do this, you know, and a movie like this is a reminder to you of, you know, these are the things that you love. I don't think you've ever had complex tastes. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that you would rather have your family there with you eating leftover Chinese than being, you know, by yourself at the fanciest restaurant in the world. So that's
what I'd rather do. Takeaway.
Takeaway. Yes. That was my takeaway.
That was your
about
takeaway.
About you.
Thank you. It's very sweet. I do identify with the Our Town-esque.
Right.
But I did love the idea that if your perspective switches, then everything switches.
Right.
It's not what happens to you. But I love that you loved it.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Was it?
All right. Back to me.
Yes. Okay. What did you learn about me, Jay Black, from Casablanca?
I think that what I learned about you, not just about you in general, was that I understand now why you like The Dark City. I understand why you have a love for movies, because you understand where it all came from, where it stemmed from.
Right.
So I think the appreciation that you have, sometimes I need to understand a little bit better. Because you have such a good memory, and you have such a love of movies, and you love to see those elements reused in other movies.
Right. Can I just say one thing, though?
What?
I took Keen to a showing of this movie when he was 9 or 10. I can't remember. And we saw it in a packed theater. And everybody was laughing and applauding, like it was like an Avengers movie, mm-hmm. with the way people responded. And I'm sure Keane wasn't aware of what the letters of transit were. But he loved it. Like, he laughed when everybody else laughed. We forget that old movies were entertainment.
Yes.
You know, you hear 100%. Casablanca and you're like, oh, well, that's a very deep movie. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It's fun.
Well, I mean, there's deep aspects to it.
But it was fun.
Right.
Just like About Time has deep aspects to it, but you like it because it moves you.
Right.
Casablanca is just great.
Yes. I think that what I learned about you is that you have such a thirst and love of movies that when you want to show me something, it's not you trying to, like, subject me to something that you want to watch. It's that you love it so much, you want to make me enjoy it as much as you. And that's very sweet of you.
Yeah, I'm a sweet boy.
You're a sweet man.
I mean, the grizzled world-weariness of a Don Draper, with the quips and cynicism of Humphrey Bogart, but mixed with the boyish good looks of a young Brad Pitt, hard not to fall in love with me all over again.
Right. If Humphrey Bogart was here, he would say to him, tell me about Jay Black, and he would say, well, let me just tell you, if I was a woman and I came in and I wasn't me,
I'd give him anal.
Probably it.
Yeah, which is, by the way, the definition of love. So everybody has learned a little something here tonight, I think.
I learned that, it's not necessarily the, you love an ending where it wasn't the expected ending,
right?
But that it was still a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
So
everybody won and lost in equal measure.
Yep.
As in life.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, kids, we are done. We're going to go eat our dessert.
What about next week?
You mean next month?
Next month.
I have not thought of a movie. I think we should... I'll make an announcement on one of the other podcasts of what movie to watch. I think we need to think about this.
Okay.
I don't want to just toss something off.
Right.
Because I might say, like, Bad News Bears, Breaking Training. And then we'd be forced to watch that.
I saw that.
And while I love that movie, I'm not sure that's the one I want to give to you. There's a guy running again.
Different guy.
No, he stole that from the first guy. Everybody just keeps running back and forth.
All right, let's sign off now, because that guy with the dessert menu is coming.
All right. All right, thanks for stopping by. And remember, come to Casa Gennaro. Thank you so much. And, Bill gave you the number at the start of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know when to come, how to do this. You're missing out if you don't at least get to Casa Gennaro at least once in your done lifetime.
Come to the market.
And pick up some stuff to bring home. Don't be a dummy. Come to Gennaro's. I just wrote that. Don't be a dummy, yo. Come to Gennaro.
We'll work on that for next time.
I think it's done. I think it's perfect.
We'll work on it.
I think we should be put into Latin on
his family crest.
On his family crest. All right, guys. Thanks for paying attention to us. And we will see you next time on Movie and the Dinner. Yay!
The Speaking Podcast, brought to you by our friends at House of Cupcakes, serving you in Princeton, East Brunswick, Clifton, and Saudi Arabia. The winner of Cupcake Wars offers 35 different flavors, perfect for a special occasion or just a sweet treat. HouseofCupcakes.com. The Speaking Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Flemington Car and Truck Country, 16 brands of cars and trucks. I'm a loyal customer buying my last two trucks there and can tell you no one beats the deals or offers better service. Visit Flemington.com. The Speaking Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Casa Gennaro's on Route 27 in Kingston. Call 609-683-1212 for reservations. They're open for dinner every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Ask for my favorite special, the Veal Spadia. Best Italian food in Jersey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.